And now, insurance-minded speeches from GEICO.
It's a common expression, don't look a gift horse in the mouth. However, what if the horse's mouth is filled with useful insurance tools? This is the exact case with the GEICO app. Yes, the app is free and therefore a gift horse. However, look inside the app and behold, emergency roadside assistance, digital ID cards, bill pay. Get the GEICO app. Look it in the mouth. Get amazing services. Thank you.
How did you like Nerlens in his first game?
Good trade.
You guys may not be familiar, the listener probably is, but I start out shows with quotes, and then I have my intro music. It's like, da-na-na-na, da-na-na-na. And the quote today, just to provide a little bit of context for it, it's Coach Rick Carlisle saying, good trade, in response to being asked about.
Did you see the video I posted today on Mathematic?
I haven't gotten around to it, but it is true that my guest today, both of my guests, in fact, are from MavsFanatic.com, but just so everyone knows, go out and follow them on Twitter. On Twitter, it is at the MavsFanatic.
Yeah, it is.
Yes.
So just so listeners have a little bit of context into who from the MavsFanatics I'm talking to, it's Nick Angstead and Taman Turner. Guys, just introduce yourself quickly to the Almighty Ballin' NBA show really quick, and then we can talk about how dope Nerlens Noel is and how little we had to give up.
Straight.
Oh, and I say we because also, listener, by the way, I'm from Dallas.
Well, so I'm Nick Angstead. I am a writer at MavsFanatic.com, co-host of the Mavs Fanatic podcast. You can also follow us there. And I am, that's who I am.
And I'm Taman Turner. I'm a writer at MavsFanatic.com as well. I'm also the co-host of the Mavs Fanatic podcast. I also call myself on the Mavs Fanatic podcast, as Nick knows, the one and the only. Taman Turner, the one and the only. That's how I describe myself.
No, you describe yourself as the unofficial amateur GM of the Dallas Mavericks.
That's what you and Chris Arnold describe me as. I have called myself that.
Well, you did a great job. I just want to let you know, managing the Mavericks roster. So,
Thank you.
I guess we should start with the big news of the day and the reason why I'm getting the delightful opportunity to talk about the Mavs. I use any opportunity I can. I try to cover the whole NBA, but I feel like we have a real excuse to talk a little bit about the Mavs because I think, though we probably, I mean, the Pelicans, of course, made the most impactful move of the deadline. I think that we made probably the smartest in terms of assets going out and great center coming in. So did you guys watch the game last night?
Yeah, yes. I was at the game. Nerlens Noel was putting up shots really early before. I mean, he took a ton of jumpers. He might've taken like 100-200 jumpers before the game. So I don't know what he's trying to do, but yeah, he looked pretty good, came in, and it's amazing how many Mavs fans are like, oh, if Nerlens Noel doesn't start, I'm not going to be a Mavs fan anymore. And I was like, guys, calm down. He's still going to play like 25 minutes. It's going to be okay. Gosh.
He played a full 30 minutes.
Yeah, right.
I mean, and Rick Carlisle did say before the game that the intention is to start him. And I definitely understand that. Does that send Dwight Powell to the bench or does it send Salah?
Dwight Powell.
Whose minutes does he take?
Dwight Powell did not play a minute last night. So his minutes are going to go way down. And Salah played six minutes, and he fouled out. 6 minutes, six fouls, no points, no rebounds, no blocks, no assists, no nothing else, no shot attempts.
That's just a Salah thing to do.
so that wasn't intentional? That wasn't like – he didn't do that on purpose?
I don't think he did that on purpose. He was talking to Tim McMahon afterwards and was like, they were just calling all these fouls and blah, blah, blah. And he was like, yep, get him next time, I guess.
I thought he did that on purpose.
I mean,
but you know, whatever. It is a very Salah thing to do. So, well, just from the first game, I imagine that your impressions are the same. I'm looking to see Nerlens basically put up. You know, he came away with 10 rebounds. I think it was 11 and 10 was his stat line last night. But nine points and 10 rebounds. That's what it was. Yeah.
9 and 10.
Yeah, so I expect basically that stat line for a decade, and that's awesome.
I totally take that.
If he can become a consistent double-double machine, there is no reason why he can't. He's truly not only the center for the Mavericks now, but for the Mavericks for the future. I mean, he's 22 years old, and we got a piece of that last night. And, you know, the Mavericks, you know, I was listening to Donnie Nelson on 105.3 The Fan on Ben and Skin the other day.
Shout out 105.3 The Fan. Shout out Ben and Skin, as always.
Yeah, and Donnie Nelson said that, you know, this is a younger Tyson Chandler. This is who we kind of want him to be. And the Mavericks had a lot of success with Tyson Chandler. And I know it's only one game, but if we judge anything by yesterday, he's athletic. Harrison Barnes, if I'm not mistaken, Nick, he said after the game we're going to have to learn to throw some lobs.
Yeah.
That's what Tyson Chandler was known for, his offense while he was in Dallas. So if the Mavericks do that not only now but moving forward, they literally have their center, like you said, Chris, for the next decade.
And we made it 10 minutes into the podcast and we have a Tyson Chandler comparison. I didn't think we could make it any longer than that.
Well, I mean, like, that's the thing, though, is that that's the natural comparison. It's not like one of those things, well, you know, we have a European center, so yeah, he's, you know, always going to be this
or
guy.
A white dude that can shoot and he's automatically Korver.
or like Larry Bird, if he's not quite as handsome as Korver. You know, like, that is the comparison. That's the optimal situation, of course, with like a few, you know, differences around the side. Tyson Chandler's taller. Nerlens is more mobile, I think, and will probably be more mobile. Here's the thing, guys, where I'm coming from, and I said this even before, I said this back when Nerlens Noel was like, trade me, I want to go. What it reminds me of is this deadline's James Harden, right?
Ooh.
Where there was too much at one position. There was too much. There was a bounty, right, over in the 76ers where they had young superstar Joel Embiid. They had Jahlil Okafor, who they should have just waived and kept Nerlens, but whatever. They had too many players at center, and that's sort of what happened with James Harden. They just had too much talent, too much shot creation, you know, too much. I mean, that was a stupid trade and they should have just held on to him. But same thing goes for 76ers. Nerlens Noel, I think, given this role, is going to be a superstar in his role. What do you guys think?
I wrote before the deadline that the Mavs have a chance to finally become the team that takes advantage of people, because all the time the Mavs were the buyers. They were the buyers of the deadline, and they needed to get players. They were in a position to win, and so they needed to make a run, and they would trade away all these draft picks, make all these bad trades to try to get better at a certain position. And so now they're able to take some of those assets and turn it into an actual player because they don't need that player to produce right away. And I thought that was just a great move by them. And Donnie Nelson really needed that move to happen and really needed something good to happen, because a lot of Mavs fans just lost all faith in Donnie Nelson and Mark Cuban to run a franchise, which is a little ridiculous, seeing as though he's like the third highest tenured, you know, GM in the league or something like that. But, and they've had so much success, but he really needed that, for at least in fans' perspective.
I think that doesn't quite do the trade justice, because, I mean, we're better now. I mean, Justin Anderson was benched for an NBA 2K player. I mean, who was undrafted. Like, and then Andrew Bogut, not only is he a conservative rascal who believes in Pizzagate, he also was, like, not good for the Mavs. Like, we got better for the future, and we got better for now. Like, it was great. It's great all around.
Now, my response to that is, I mean, the thing is, from a GM's perspective, a lot of Mavs fans did lose faith in Donnie and Cuban, because they had a goal once they won the championship was to swing for the big fish. They swung for, what, 5 years in a row, and they flat out, they were fishing. They went fishing. They swung and they missed. And they struck out every single time. And now Dirk's older, and now the Mavericks had to make a trade, not only for now, but for the future. And that's why this is a good trade, getting Nerlens Noel. I mean, Justin Anderson, I think everybody in and around Dallas, in and around the Mavericks, likes Justin Anderson.
As a person.
That he has potential. But the thing is that, I think a lot of people say that he was regressing. He makes a lot of mistakes. He's a good player. He's athletic. He's not the best shooter. But if you can get him for a guy who could potentially be a superstar, which I think we all believe that Nerlens Noel will be.
A superstar in his role.
Yeah, right.
I mean, the thing about Nerlens, right, is like he's never going to define your offense. And that's something, I mean, Dirk is the superstar, right? I mean, we watched Rick Carlisle. I was talking earlier to Adam Mares. He's a writer for Vice, super smart guy. And we were talking about coaches, and he was like, well, Rick Carlisle is kind of a system guy. And I had to step in and correct him. What the deal is that if you have Dirk Nowitzki, he is your system.
Yeah.
You draw double teams, and like your offense revolves around that insane gravity that's created by that one-legged, unstoppable fadeaway shot. So that's never going to be Nerlens. That's fine. But I think that he could be a player on the defensive end who does dictate everything, you know, like Tyson Chandler. If you remember, even a older Tyson Chandler, when we had him back a couple of years ago and he was our starting center with the Jameer Nelson squad, right?
Before the Rondo.
He just totally buoyed our defense. And so, I mean, I think that that's what Nerlens is going to be. So he's not going to be like Russell Westbrook, right? But I think that he's going to have a profound impact on the defensive end that makes him a defensive superstar.
Great, Chris, let me tell you real quick. Let me tell you how important a superstar defensive center is. And I've told Nick this before on the Mavs Next podcast. Go ask the Cleveland Cavaliers last year how much they need – or excuse me. Go ask the Golden State Warriors last year how much they needed Andrew Bogut when he went down in the finals. LeBron, no, Dick, I see you shaking your head. LeBron James and Tristan Thompson dominated the paint when Andrew Bogut got hurt. Remember, when Golden State was up 3-1, Cleveland couldn't get down low. Bogut was dominating that, but when he got hurt, Tristan Thompson and LeBron James took advantage of that. So it just goes to show you how important having a defensive anchor is down low. If the Mavericks can have that type of a presence, that type of an identity down low, it does wonders for your team.
Well, so listener, like he just mentioned, this is Nick and Taman over at the Mavs Fanatic podcast. And normally their takes aren't that shit. So you should definitely go listen to their podcast because they really know what they're talking about the Mavs, except in this one instance. And it's too bad that you had to hear it. What I would compare it to, man,
and
I'm just messing with
you.
I get what you're saying. You know what, though? I think the better comparison is actually LeBron on the defensive end. In the finals, LeBron was basically playing the center. I mean, he was getting those great blocks as Steph Curry. Everyone was afraid to get anywhere near him because he was so mobile, so explosive, so frightening, right? And could just get to you no matter where you were. I mean, hell, he hauled ass all the way down the court to block Andre Iguodala on that last page. He was a rim protector in a fierce type of way. So defensively, I think that he essentially was playing the center during the finals, and that's what I want Nerlens to be.
Yeah, there's space creators on offense where you have like a guy like we mentioned Korver or even Seth Curry or any kind of shooter, even Dirk we mentioned. They create space for other people on offense. There are space invaders on defense where they take up space and you do not want to go into their space. And Nerlens Noel is that kind of guy where last night I tweeted, I don't want to dribble anywhere near Nerlens Noel because if I dribble anywhere near him, he's just going to swipe it or his arms are so long that he'll just get in there at any point. And so he clogs up so much space on defense. And so it like bogs up the space for an offense on the other side.
Yeah. He can make impact plays in a wider circumference than, I mean, obviously anyone we had before. So, Taman, I hope you know I'm just messing around with you. Like,
I'm not for having fun. I mean, my point in that is that I was saying if Nerlens I think a lot of people forget the reason why I always bring up the Bogut thing is that. When Golden State was up 3-1, particularly when they were up 2-1, Cleveland was not having their way like they did the last four games down low. And that just goes to show you the importance of having a defensive presence, to having a center who can be an enforcer, having an anchor.
I mean, in Game 6, Draymond Green had to sit, and Kyrie and LeBron both scored 40 points, which is the first time that's ever happened, right? And Draymond Green in the death lineup is the starting center, right?
I mean, if Taman, if your point is that you need a center that is good at defense, okay.
My point
good.
Is,
good.
If you want to go that way, the Mavericks, they in 2011 when they won the championship, they had an enforcer down low.
Yeah. Yep.
That's my point. If you have a guy who has a defensive identity down low, it can do wonders for the rest of your team. That's all I'm saying.
I agree.
Hey, Taman, do you follow the NBA draft? I feel like this year, especially as a Mavs fan, you've hopefully been keeping track.
I have been on Team Tank all season.
Okay, well, Waffler. Taman, so what I think happened there, right, is that I was asking you as the Nerlens Noel of this podcast play to catch this lob and slam it down, but it was a poor lob on my part. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to be one of the many talented young guards, right, who can operate in the pick and roll with Nerlens Noel, and have you talk a little bit about who that might be on the court instead of on the podcast. Like who's going to be throwing these lobs hopefully better than I would if I was playing on the Mavericks. who do you like in next year's draft?
You know, it's hard to right now. It's hard to say. I mean,
you're the worst tank commander I've ever had on a podcast with me.
No, like, I feel bad. Like, dude, stop. We have to be positive about Taman. Like, you guys have a dope podcast. I can't just bring him on and be an asshole.
No, but that's our podcast, though. We go back and forth at each other.
Yeah, we never agree on anything.
We've been on opposite sides of the spectrum this whole season, where I think that they should push to make the playoffs, and the team should be respectable, where Taman thinks that the team should tank.
Taman, I'm Team Tank, too.
Well, I'm glad.
Let's gang up on Nick this time.
Okay, go.
I'm glad that you're Team Tank, but I mean, you know, I'm for the long run. I've told Nick all year that I hate watching the Mavericks lose, but at the same time, I understand for the long run it might be better if they lose. And Nick has gone in on me on that, but I mean, to answer your question, I mean, you know, there's a lot of guards. I feel like this year there's a lot more, you know, a score first guards than a lobbing point guard that, you know, we're going to want from a guy like to give those lob passes over to Nerlens. But, you know, I
if there's one guy, though, who can do the whole like distributor thing, Lonzo Ball. I mean, we're going to be in the mix for the number one pick. Like, we're firmly in the lottery.
Let me ask you this. Where do you think the Mavericks are going to finish?
I think probably now with Nerlens, probably seventh or eighth, we're going to end up with that pick. Right now, we're fifth, the fifth spot in the lottery. But I imagine we're going to end up sixth, seventh, eighth.
Nick, where do you think they'll finish?
I thought Chris was going to say seventh or eighth seed, and I was going to agree with him vehemently.
Nick, where do you think the Mavericks will finish?
I think they'll probably be eighth. They'll probably be ninth or tenth in the West. So what is that like? I don't know. The lottery, probably about where they are, 7, 9, 10.
Right.
Yeah, and I mean, now you're starting to look like. Of course, if you like win the lottery, then you're up 1, 2, 3. But I mean, even still, Malik Monk, Frank Ntilikina, Dennis Smith, like these are all guys who. I think last year what the deal was is basically Ben Simmons is as close as you can get to a guaranteed superstar. I mean, except he doesn't have a jump shot, but I mean, he might be a superstar either way. And then this year, basically you have a bunch of guys that are similar to that. I think Brandon Ingram and Down last year, it was like they have a lot of potential and these are probably going to be NBA starters. And I think, you know, it basically dropped off after Ingram, and I think all the way down to the 10th pick, there's basically guys who I can almost like say there's an 80-90% that they're going to end up being a quality NBA starter. And I mean, if we take a shot on like a guy like Malik Monk, and we have like on the Mavs starting Yogi Berra, Yogurt Ferrell, you know, this guy at point guard.
Hey, Yogi.
So if we have Yogurt Barrels at point guard, and then at shooting guard, Malik Monk hitting 50% from three, there's going to be so much gravity for Nerlens to work with. And Harrison Barnes, man.
Yeah. I don't really get into the draft stuff until later in the season because these college kids are coming in. They have, what do they play? Like maybe 3 months of practice, and then you just throw them out there with guys that are also, that also just got there. I don't know if I really trust the college game that much. And I'm not going to go watch high school tape or AAU tape of these guys unless it's, unless it's LaMelo Ball, then I'll watch some of that stuff. If he's going to score 92 points.
I mean, you have a lot of guards. I mean, you brought up Lonzo Ball. I don't think I think he's going to be gone by the time the Mavericks.
Well, I'm saying if we win the lottery.
Right, if you win the lottery. But, I mean, I don't know if the Mavericks are going to really score in the lottery that high, because I think they're going to be a 9 or a 10 seed in the Western Conference. There's going to be a lot of people ahead of them. But, you know, you got – I mean, I'm kind of like Nick, too. I mean, I want to see also the tournament, too, because there are surprises that come out of the tournament. I mean,
yeah, but like superstar players never, like, barely any do anything in the tournament. I mean, who's the last guy that won a championship and or won a, you know, March Madness and ended up being a superstar player?
Oh, like, there was that guy that, like, LeBron wanted the Heat Kemba to pick, that point guard.
Like oh yeah, like Shabazz Napier, Mario Shabazz Chalmers,
Napier. And like Walker.
Kemba Walker, I mean, he's turned into a good player, but even at the beginning, I mean, he's worked super hard to become, to get the place he is.
It took a little time, but I mean, he's a good young player. I mean, he's been playing well.
But if the Mavs get a Kemba Walker, does that make this season a failure?
If we get Kemba Walker?
A Kemba Walker type, where it's going to take a long time, but eventually he'll be an all-star probably once.
No, that would be great. I would love that.
I don't think it'll be a failure, because it's not like the Mavericks are going to win a championship next year or in 2 years or in 3 years.
But happening. All right, listen. If we get the 7th pick, I just looked this up.
Okay.
If we get the 7th pick, we have a 15% shot at getting a top 3 pick.
Right.
And 15%, man, that's good. I like that.
Yeah, I'd take 15%.
Right.
And even if we don't get a top 3 pick, it's still the 7th pick of the draft.
Now, let me ask you this, Chris, because I know you said you're on Team Tank also. Are you going to be upset if the Mavericks make the playoffs?
I think that is such an unrealistic possibility that I haven't really considered it. I
mean, there are only three games. What are they, 3 games out of the 18?
Yeah, but the Pelicans just got boogied. The Nuggets offense in the league since starting Jokic. I don't know. I don't see it.
Yeah, the Mavericks just beat the Pelicans. The Pelicans look, I mean, there's a chance that the Pelicans become the Clippers light, where, I mean, last night, I was documenting it, that Boogie was yelling at the refs during timeouts and, you know, talking to the refs, and then he'd bring Alvin Gentry over, and Alvin Gentry was yelling at the refs, and it could become, I mean, it's a bad term, but you call a guy a locker room cancer, and he could just come in and, like, you know, mess up the mentality of this team, and the Pelicans are churning players out, like, all the time. They bring in these 10-day contract guys and they push them out because they just don't have enough talent around those guys. I think that could be a real toxic environment by the end of this.
Yeah, but I mean, the Clippers make the playoffs, though.
That's why, right? I say Clippers light. They don't have, like, you know, all the talent. They're talented at 2 spots, maybe probably 3 with Giroux. But
the one thing Nick and I said on the Mavs Fanatic podcast last week was, there's no doubt from a basketball standpoint, New Orleans definitely got better, and I'll say it again. I think they're the favorite to get the 8 seed because of the talent that they have. But I think it's not guaranteed. And as I mean, you know, Dallas is 3 games back. To me, it's still an open race. And just because New Orleans has better talent right now, I think from that perspective of basketball, it's particularly at their from their superstar level. Sometimes it's all about chemistry, and if New Orleans fits well, the Mavericks could make the playoffs.
Yeah, the Nuggets, I love that when we were talking about the Nuggets before on our podcast, like, you know, in this whole Pelican situation, who is going to make the 8th seed, I thought the Nuggets were going to make another deal. There was, you know, all this talk about they were trying to, you know, maybe make a play for Paul George. They had all these guys that didn't really fit what they were trying to do. You got Gallinari and Fareed and maybe Wilson Chandler they were shopping. I thought they had one more move in them. Now that they're staying pat, I mean, I guess you try to, you go for it. And I think the Nuggets are in a better position, obviously, than the Mavericks are to get the 8 seed. So if I had to guess, I'd say the Nuggets probably stay there.
So I guess my take would be that, you know, on one hand, you have you know, this Pelicans team that, yeah, like, I agree, they may not put it together. I think that there's a real chance that happens.
Yeah,
and I think just saying like, okay, like we're definitely, they're definitely, now that they have these two superstars, like it's going to work out. That being said, you could make a compelling argument for them having the two best big men in the league.
Right.
And that's just talent that we like aren't approaching. Yep. And then the Nuggets, on the other hand, who I would pick, I think the Nuggets are going to be the team that ends up making the playoffs. Like I said, since they started playing Jokic, like starting Jokic and running the offense through Jokic, it's been the number one offense in the league, and teams with number one offenses generally make the playoffs.
I mean, yeah, I mean, regardless, right now, I mean, you can make an argument maybe for everybody in that little race right there, 8 through 12, except for Sacramento. I think it's fair to say they're definitely that train wreck.
Hey, Buddy Hield's the next Steph Curry.
There was a dude, there was like three or four dudes last night at the AAC with the American Airlines Center where the Mavs play with Buddy Hield Pelicans jerseys, and I just felt really bad for them. First of all, I felt bad that they owned those jerseys. Like, some of them were authentic jerseys, like the, you know, maybe $200 jersey depending on where they got it. And second, I felt bad that they felt the need to wear that jersey to a game where they just shipped him out for DeMarcus Cousins and in Dallas.
Dude, if I'm a Pelicans fan, I'd love Buddy Hield. I mean, like, he's the reason why you got Boogie, you know? Like, I mean, it's like up until the Boogie trade, I was like, why the hell wouldn't you pick, man, who went seventh to the Nuggets? I'm bad with proper nouns sometimes. He went Jamal Murray. Yeah. Up until the Boogie trade, I was like, why don't you pick Jamal Murray? He's better right now, and he's 5 years younger. But now it's like, you know, I think that Dell Demps has really proved that he's a good GM, because he knew that the Kings would want Buddy and that he would get Boogie Cousins when he made that pick. I think he knew.
Speaking of a GM that really needed to make a move because his job may have been on the line, Dell Demps was in a spot where that talent around around Anthony Davis is just, you know, suspect at best. And even now, the talent even isn't, you know, that great, but bringing Boogie Cousins definitely helps. And the Lakers are a testament to that, because all these reports are coming out now that Kupchak and Buss were trying to make a last-ditch effort to get Boogie and to try to save their jobs, and it didn't work for them.
The thing is also, when it comes to the Boogie trade, you have to remember, if anybody is mad, whether it be the Lakers or anybody, that they didn't get Boogie, blame the Sacramento Kings, because the Sacramento Kings had no idea what they were doing.
Yeah, the Mavericks called them on Sunday and said no, and they traded him like 2 days later. It's just,
yeah, they're a train wreck.
Man, if I was the Mavs, I would have made a play for Boogie.
They did.
They called him on Sunday and they said, no, we are not trading.
Oh, I thought you meant the other way around. No,
the Mavericks said that they tried to, and then the Kings said, no, we're not going to trade him, and then they traded him 2 days later.
Well, I haven't talked about the Mavericks since I think around Christmas I had Mark Folwell on, and we were talking about, I mean, the biggest problem we had with the direction that the Mavs were going is that there's such a big question mark, and we actually talked about some of the young draft prospects because he follows college ball. But I mean, I think the Mavs are in a weird position right now where it might be the case that we don't want to pick a point guard because of Yogurt Barrels breaking out. And I haven't talked about Yogurt Fareed since he's been sort of breaking out. It's Yogi Ferrell, by the way. I just like making jokes about his name.
His name's Kevin.
But Yogi Ferrell, yeah, right? I mean, it is a big deal that that Yogurt Barrel has come out of the gates as, you know, as this D-League point guard, unheralded, averaging 15 points a game, shooting 42% from three, 5.5 assists. Like, this might be our future point guard, right? I mean, what do you think the odds are?
Well,
a great response.
Look, I'm just saying it's possible. I don't know.
I like Yogi a lot, but once there's a little bit more out on him from a scouting standpoint, and from when people are able to kind of vet him a little bit more, I don't see him being much better than a JJ. I think JJ Barea will kind of be his high. I mean, I hope I'm wrong. He's a good player.
Well, I think it's probably what he'll be, but I mean, his high, I think he's proving is a starting point guard. I mean, that's, it's possible, yeah, is I guess a, what I'm saying. I agree with you.
He could be a starter, but you know, worst case scenario, he's a really good backup, which I'm happy with.
Yeah.
What do you
think,
if
you
Nick?
Look at the landscape of the West, I mean, you got really good young point guards. Russell Westbrook's still relatively young. I mean, he's in his prime. You have Lillard, who
his kneecaps aren't young. His kneecaps aren't young.
And if he keeps drinking Mountain Dew in those commercials, he's gonna take a couple years off and some enamel off of his teeth for sure. So you have him. I mean, you have Curry. Obviously, you have Chris Paul is near the end, but you have. I mean, there's so many others. You just keep naming all these point guards. James Harden is now a point guard. If that's going to be the norm now that you need a point guard like that, I don't think Yogi's ceiling is up to up to par with all of those guys. I think that the Mavericks to make a real run, they would need an all-star type point guard. And I don't think Yogi will ever make an all-star team. Sorry.
I'm inclined to agree. I think that though. That being said, he's a pretty decent fill-in. Like he's I think he is sort of like a young JJ, and I think JJ has shown in the past that he can step in a pinch and be a starting point guard, albeit a bottom 10, like the 20th or 30th best point guard in the league if you're classifying him as a starter. But if you're classifying him as a bench guard, then it's a different story, and he's one of the better bench guys, one of the better, microwave guys in the league.
All that being said, it would be awesome if he did become an all-star point guard. And if he did, take this trajectory, it would be awesome because it would be the Linsanity story, but, it finished.
he could get a Danimal sponsor and be, get the Yogi Ferrell yogurt barrels,
Or with Hanna-Barbera for Yogi Bear. We could just go with that.
Henny yoga bar barrels?
No, it doesn't need to have yogurt or barrels involved at all. Picnic baskets, maybe. We can talk about picnic baskets.
Or he could get his intro music produced by Pharrell. Or he could co-star in a Hollywood movie with Will Ferrell.
I see what you did there.
And
we also gotta add the fact to remember his first name is Kevin. Where does Kevin come in? Kevin,
you're the, you're the only person that brings up his real name or maybe even no name.
Oh,
his real name is,
that's insider knowledge.
His real name is Kevin.
Kevin
Yogi. Breaking news, everyone. His real name is Kevin. Well, that's fascinating. So
and that's all we've learned about Yogi in this segment.
Okay, so moving away from Team Tank a little bit, what is it, Nick? I guess, so if the Mavs make a playoff run, if that were to happen, what does that look like? So, I mean, does Wesley Matthews just, get on a hot streak? Because that happens, but then, I mean, I guess, Nerlens Noel, obviously, is a big part of that.
The Mavs have not been good at drafting. Breaking news again. Yogi's name is Kevin, and the Mavs aren't good at drafting. All facts that we know. They just traded away their one first round pick that was in the top 21 or so, and they got Nerlens Noel for him, which was awesome. But
we're gonna keep that pick.
Yeah, but if they do make the playoffs, I'm saying that you're not really missing anything out. if they don't and they end up in the lottery because. I mean, there's a chance that you end up getting Hasheem Thabeet, Kwame Brown. You could end up getting a Wes Johnson. I mean, it's just such a crapshoot. And so the Mavs, they go for the playoffs. And these young guys that they are accumulating, and I think Nerlens Noel even ups this, that they should do this even more. Go for the playoffs. Get them some experience, this young group. And, get them going in an upward trajectory. And then, I mean, if a free agent comes around, that looks way more attractive than the team did last year. If you got a young team that is in the playoffs and, quality. If a Paul George type looks at the Mavericks and looks at the Lakers, I mean, yeah, the Lakers are in L.A., but which core looks better if they're making the playoffs with the Mavericks core?
The Lakers core.
You don't have a 20-point scorer on the Lakers core.
Like, Brent, they have a roster full of young talent, though. And I think that the reality of the situation, and you guys as Mavs fans rather than just Mavs analysts, I guess you're fanalists, I guess, you might not like this, but the Spurs, I think, are a very well-run organization.
Agreed.
And when they had a year where David Robinson was breaking down and, you know, there were a couple of key injuries, they just shut everything down, tanked, got Tim Duncan, and then refreshed things, and it's like, you know, boom. That's the type of guy who the Mavs could get this year, and like next year will make that playoff run that Dirk deserves for his last year. But like, we need young talent.
If the Mavericks can turn into one of the biggest outliers in sports franchise history because of this year, because they have this down year and they pick a guy that becomes maybe one of the best 10 players in NBA history, I'm all for it. I will go back on all my comments saying they need to make the playoffs. I'll go back on everything if they end up becoming.
You'll officially give the title of amateur GM to yourself.
I will give me the I will give myself the title of guy that missed out on the tank. The tank,
yeah.
And really missed it the entire year.
Well, like, okay, but I'm not saying that we're going to get Tim Duncan, although I think Markel Fultz is going to be amazing. But like, we're probably not going to get the number one pick regardless. Although if we do, oh my God. But what I'm saying is that this is a really good draft, or at least it appears to be, right? And it's really deep with guard talent. And we've said our young point guard is not a future starting point guard in all reality. Like that the chances of that happening are pretty slim. So, I mean, if we don't have to pick a Tim Duncan in this draft, but how great would it be to pick our future starting point guard?
It'd be amazing.
It would be incredible.
It would be I would say it'd be a once in a lifetime opportunity, but if you're a Mavs fan and you're the age of, I don't know, what is it, like 21 or something like that, that already did happen in your lifetime, which they traded for his rights, but that I pretty much count that as a draft pick.
I assume you're talking about Jay Crowder.
No, Robert Tractor Trailer changed the franchise.
That is an interesting point though, because Dirk was picked with the 11th pick. So maybe, you know, we make a run for the playoffs, don't quite make it, but we end up around like the 11th pick. I think that, yeah, it's top 18 protected, the pick is.
Yeah.
So we would keep that.
You can,
and then
guys that were drafted in 9 through 11, I mean, you got Paul George, you have Kawhi Leonard. I mean, just really, really good players have come at. Curry was 9, right? Wasn't Curry 9 or 7?
Yeah.
Yeah, right behind Flynn. South American
and Rubio.
South American basketball superstar.
You can get a superstar player in that range. It's such a crapshoot.
Yeah, yeah.
And sometimes these college runs, like the March Madness type runs, will push a guy's stock up in a way that it shouldn't, because he's not playing against the highest quality players out there.
No, the great thing is with the Mavericks trading for Nerlens Noel and with their draft status, as I told Nick the other day, is that their summer started on Thursday. Their summer for next year, and not only next year but beyond that, started on Thursday when they traded for Nerlens Noel. So they have somewhat of a centerpiece. If they can, you know, get a good, if they can get a good guard or whoever they get, you know, if this pick that they get ends up being, you know, one of the best players in NBA history, the Mavericks will really have two young centerpieces that they can build around for the post-Dirk era, which...
Well, hold on. I'm not saying that anyone in this draft is going to be one of the best players in NBA history.
I didn't say that. I didn't say that. I said, if he can be.
Like... You know, we said Kemba Walker earlier. Like, that's the type of guy who we would cross our fingers for. And then if he ends up being, like, you know, the next Steve Nash or something. Oh, God, that hurts.
Shabazz Napier.
And if he ends up being, like, a super-duper ultra-star, then, like, sweet. But, I mean, like, I'm thinking, like, you know, the 10th or 11th best point guard in the league. That would still be fantastic. That's a guy like Mike Conley. I mean, that'd be great.
And the Mavericks tried to get Mike Conley this summer, but the Grizzlies gave him as much money as they possibly could.
But I mean, like a 20-year-old, a 19, 18-year-old Mike Conley, you know? And also,
What if he turns into D'Angelo Russell, where you're like, I don't know, could he be really good? Could he not be really good?
I mean,
it's just the risk you run.
Like, I think that D'Angelo Russell's going to be really good. I think he'll end up being about the 10th best point guard in the league, right?
Yeah, but is that worth leveraging a whole season and potentially your culture?
Yes.
Well, Chris, I guess we just have different values.
Have you guys heard of Isaiah Hartenstein? 6'11" power forward from Germany.
Oh man,
he's Dirk Jr.
Yeah, no, that's the comparison that always comes to mind. You know, back in the good old days before Bogut was awful and it became clear that we weren't going to get a return like this, what I wanted to do is trade Andrew Bogut to Portland for their first round pick because they needed rim protection and they needed a rim protector who could pass. And I was thinking, like, hey,
they have three picks.
Yeah, right. So if we had gotten that and we had gotten Andrew Bogut over to Portland for their pick, they're picking around like the 20th pick, and that's where Hartenstein's supposed to go. What I really wanted is I wasn't just on team tank, man. I was on team just jump off the bridge, like just team number one pick. So
just jump into the Trinity River and fall to your death because there's no water in it.
Yeah, no, like I was team like hyper tank because I think Marco Fultz is going to be a generational player. But you know, maybe we can make a draft day trade. You know, we'll pick up someone like Jaren Fox or, you know, I mean, there's tons of guys in this draft. I think that once Nick, okay, listen, man, if we get a 20 and 6 guy who shoots like around 38% and can be like a number two option out of this draft, would you say that it was worth it?
Worth it if they did the hyper tank, or worth it if they just kind of organically tanked?
The hyper tank
ended up
has come and gone. Like, that's not happening.
Okay, they're already past that.
But I'm saying, like, if with the 7th, 8th, 5th pick, right, we were to get a guy who is for, you know, 7, 8 years is 20 points, you know, 6 assists every game, right? Someone like that.
Yeah.
Would that be worth it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that would be worth it. If you knew that you were guaranteed that, then yes. The problem is you're not, but that's a different conversation.
Yeah. Well, hopefully the Mavs hit on their pick. So, and just like, you know, general updates with the team, as far as, you know, so what
actual games and not a whole like summer, as Taman said, this is like a glorified preseason for the rest of this, for the rest of this year.
Well, so yeah, we can, well, okay. I want to stick to things in the future because that's what's bright for the Mavericks right now. You know, like that's what we can get our hopes up for. And that's why you should be on team tank, Nick. But you know what?
We'll get there.
One thing that I think is going to be important is Dirk Nowitzki at the center. I think next year that's something that we're going to see. Hopefully, I imagine is that, you know, you start Dirk next to Nerlens. And I mean, as you guys know, it's not a question that you can ask Rick Carlisle whether you want to bring Dirk off the bench. So it's just like, that's not in the cards.
No, not at all. Not in any stretch of the imagination.
But what you can do is in starter minutes, Nerlens plays the center. And then for the other minutes in the game, for the 14 minutes, you can play Dirk at center. Do you think that that's like a viable thing?
Oh, yeah. Totally. You have... They fit on paper where you have, you know, two big guys and you're like, well, we have two 7-ish footers. Like, that doesn't work right in this NBA. You got to have all these wings and stuff. But Dirk can shoot, obviously. Dirk's still shooting. He scored 18 points last night. The guy is, you know, still going and hitting jumpers and spreading the floor. And so that's good on offense. And then defensively, you have Nerlens Noel that can clean up for all of Dirk's mistakes. And so it fits really well and fits seamlessly on paper. And that's why this trade was such a... Good trade.
Yeah, no,
that's Carlisle, I'll put it.
No, I agree. I think it works. I think Nerlens Noel is a very, very good complement to Dirk. So Dirk can excel at what he does best. So, I mean, yeah, I mean, again, as Carlisle put it, as Nick just said, good trade.
Yeah.
I'm not sure the Mavericks are super enamored with playing Dirk and Nerlens together that much because
That's what I'm saying. Like in the minutes that Nerlens isn't playing at center, you move Dirk to the center. I think that's going to be important.
Right. Yeah. I think they're going to keep that because they see Harrison Barnes as their four that can,
And that's the other reason it's great.
Run the plays in the system that you were talking about earlier, run Carlisle's system the way Dirk did, which is kind of amazing. If I said that sentence a year ago, that would just be the weirdest thing. Yeah. Harrison Barnes is going to run the plays in the Carlisle system that Dirk did.
Dude. What? Yeah. It's pretty awesome. I think we've gone over, the team tank options. Nick, I apologize that I just don't want to talk about the rest of this season, but like, it's,
I don't really blame you,
but like, it's just like, not good. So,
hey, what do you,
hey, for a guy that doesn't really watch college, what do you think about Quinn Cook and Ben Bentil that they just signed a 10-day contract?
I think Quinn Cook is at least interesting. They're going to be guys like, Dorian Finney-Smith, it's filling out the roster, like trying to strike gold. I really like that strategy for management, just trying to find guys, like through the D League, guys who are undrafted, sort of like turning over every stone, trying to find, the next Gerald Green, the next Wesley Matthews, right?
The next Yogi Ferrell.
The next Yogurt Barrel.
And the Mavericks have been better at that than they have at drafting, which is kind of amazing because they started a lineup a couple months ago that was four undrafted guys. Now they got Wes Matthews and they got Seth Curry through other means, but Yogi, Dorian Finney-Smith, Salo Mejri, Nico Brusino, they got so many undrafted guys on their team.
Brusino's not good, but yeah, I
no, not yet, but.
No, he's just not good. I think we're going to wrap it up here. I'm not sure that that listeners honestly want to hear about the rest of the Mav season. So, guys, I appreciate you coming on. I'm happy to have you guys representing the network for the Mavs. You guys are excellent. And normally, by the way, they record in studio, but we had some technical difficulties, and so if you want to hear the silky smooth high production version of Nick and Taman on the Mavs Fanatic podcast, it's well worth it. So one more time, talk about you guys write, you guys want to plug some of your articles, talk a little bit about that, say your Twitter handle one more time, and then we'll lead out.
Yeah, you can follow us, of course, everything at mavsfanatic.com. You can follow us on Instagram as well, Mavs_Fanatic, Twitter, the Mavs Fanatic. And you can follow us, read all our stuff there. My Twitter handle is at Nick Angstad, which I don't expect anybody to be able to spell, Angstadt.
You can find him, though, in the almightyballer.com page for Mavs Fanatics. You're in that Twitter feed on the right side.
Yep, I will be there.
Yep.
Yeah, I always tell people to spell my name right, TAIMONT717
for anyone say it right.
Twitter. But Nick pretty much said everything right. MavsFanatic.com. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, like us on Facebook, and you'll catch all of our content over there.
Yeah, and listen to the podcast. That's a Mavs Fanatic podcast available. BlogTalkRadio/ABPN and AlmightyBaller.com. Guys, it's been real. And it's been
fun.
That's
really the most important part. Just listen to our podcast. You don't have to read us. Just listen to the podcast. That's the best part.
Yeah.
By the way, I'm always right and Nick is always wrong.
I'll just say that I think you guys are sometimes right and sometimes wrong, but when you're right, you agree with me because I'm always right. That's what I would. Input there.
Whatever the opposite is, it is of a double negative. You guys just try to do it.
And I succeeded because I'm always right. Everyone, thanks for listening. I appreciate you bearing with me to talk about Mavs. I'm a Mavs fanatic. Maybe, it's a possibility. I have to be.
Maybe.
Okay. Look, I am, but I have to be an impartial analyst. This isn't fake news, guys. I have to be.
Hey, it's not fake news. It's alternative news.
Speaking of,
as the Mavericks are alternatively tanking.
Yeah.
Yes.
Speaking of alternative, you know, best wishes to Andrew Bogut, alt-right member, probable Nazi. good luck with the Cavs. Did you see he was going to sign with the Cavs?
I did see
that. I'm not a big fan.
Him and Darren from Cleveland.
I think him and Spencer Hodge. I don't know. Whatever.
Why are people not complaining about that in the sense that they complain about Kevin Durant? I mean, it's not obviously on the same level, but he just went to a team.
Did you literally just ask that?
He just went to a team that, like...
The connection, what it's like, is like Anderson Varejao going to the Warriors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, when you're a veteran player who's not that good... It's one thing to go ring chasing. LeBron attracts guys to come to him. Kevin Durant has the ability to attract people to come to him, not him go to others. That's the difference, Nick.
I'm not sure if this is still on the podcast, but I'd like to apologize to the listeners for me making Taman go full Stephen A. Smith on you. I really apologize for that.
Kwame.
Bogut is here. You'll hear it on Almighty Ballers here on the MassDag.com podcast, because I'll do it all the time, and Nick said something absolutely ridiculous.
Okay. Absolutely ridiculous. Okay, well, yeah, that's going to be the last thing on the podcast. Good night, folks.